to go ahead and pull up the scripture, John chapter 8, verses 1 to 12. And I'm sorry, I do not sound like a seasoned speaker from the South. I just had a late night last night. We're going to pull up the scripture right now. John chapter 8, verses 1 to 12. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning came again into the temple, and all the people came to him. He sat down and taught them. And then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. And when they continued asking, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Have no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." And then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Thank you, Jesus. God, we ask you today, Lord, that you'd speak through me, God, that you would speak into us, Lord. God, that you would teach us and you'd educate us. God, you'd walk us through this, Lord. This text, God, your word, God. And I pray, God, that you would show us, God, to walk in your light. God, to be the light of the world for others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. It was a great week this week. We had the 4th of July. We had fireworks at the fairway. I did not go because I have two dogs at home who are afraid of fireworks and everything else. And my wife wasn't going to go, and I was not going to go by myself because she's my best friend. But what I didn't know was that I didn't have to leave my neighborhood to see fireworks. I drove to Papa John's, which is around the corner, and I saw probably thousands of dollars worth of fireworks just in that short drive. And I don't know if they were all fireworks, but there was a lot of boom booms. But it was a fun drive just to grab that pizza. So didn't have to make it all the way out to Goshen for that. But for those who went, I'm glad you had fun, had fellowship with one another. I had fun driving around the neighborhood and Papa John's with my wife. That was really fun for me. Great 4th of July. And then yesterday we were here at the church. We getting ready for this bake sale. We've been thinking about it all week. And what we're going to do, what we're going to make. My nephew Xavier, he likes to bake things, but he likes to bake intricate things. So I've been working with him the past couple weeks. I'm like, "What can you make?" He's like, "What if I made macarons?" And I said, "What if you made something easier?" And he's like, "All right, I'll think of something. What about creme brulee?" I'm like, "It's a bake sale." And so we were working, we're trying to figure out. So decided we'll just make my cookies, but different variations of cookies. So we spent all day yesterday making about 220 cookies, which none of them came out how they were supposed to come out. They all came out delicious and wonderful. You're gonna enjoy them. They're gonna bless your families. They're gonna bless your neighbor. Whoever you buy them for, if you buy them for yourself, you can go buy some right now. They're gonna be delicious, I promise you. But my wife was just so mad that they didn't come out the way that she likes, the way that I make them for her. And her brownies just came out perfect. It just seemed like everything wasn't going. I had to call people. I called Eric Nord. I said, Eric Nord, I said, you know baking, you know cooking, you're the best person I know. What did I do wrong? My cookies aren't coming out the way I want them to come out. He's like, they'll be fine. I called Sister Borlick. I said, Sister Borlick, you make baked goods all the time. What am I doing wrong? She said, you're doing fine. They're just cookies. They are pretty good. I mean, I had a couple myself. I think they were really good. But we had a fun time making all these cookies, making all these brownies for the bake sale today. We had some donations, Sister Amber Cummins. I thought I saw her. She made cherry pie bars. And the Paxtons, Ryan made his famous English muffins from scratch. And Stephanie made some cinnamon rolls. It was great. Very excited for that. But we just had a great day. We just got to spend time together yesterday here and just make some baked goods for the bake sale today. That was real fun for me. But to my lesson, just a quick icebreaker. You guys ever been afraid of the dark? Is it? I know that I look like I'm like what people are supposed to be afraid of, what's in the dark. But like, have you ever been afraid of the dark? Like, I used to be like terrified of the dark. I used to walk around with a flashlight. Phone flashlights are my best friend when I got a smartphone. I used to be terrified of the dark. I'm not terrified of the dark anymore. I'm just terrified of what my dogs growl at night that I can't see. They're calm, they're nice, they're funny dogs. They like to laugh. I mean, I don't know, they don't laugh. They tell jokes. No. But they like to look out the window at night and just growl outside. And I look outside and I don't see anything. And I'm like, what are you seeing that I'm not seeing? And I just think that's awful. But dogs have a wider range of sight, and most likely they're brown eyed squirrels. So if you've been afraid of the dark, it's okay that you are. If you were honest with me today, I think that's okay. I think you're brave. I still think you're cool. And I still think we can be friends. If you lied to me today, well, that's between you and the Lord. But it's okay to be afraid of the dark. Let's talk about the importance of light. We need light to do things, right? We need light in our houses. We need light outside. We need light to operate in our homes. We need light to clean the dishes, make sure the dishes are clean. We need light to do laundry, to make sure our laundry is clean, right? We need light to walk around our house so we don't stub our toes. Almost everyone has a flashlight on their phone. And they use it when they lose something. That is one of the most biggest innovations in smartphones is the flash. That was for photos. They just made an app called Flashlights. And I really feel like it caused a downward spin for the flashlight business. I don't remember the last time I went and bought a flashlight. I don't remember the last time I know somebody or I caught somebody buying a flashlight. I don't remember that. I don't know people who, I mean, unless you buy the novelty ones that shoot up at airplanes. Like, unless you buy those ones that have a mile radius, I don't know anybody who buys those. So when I think about the importance of light, like, we need it when things are lost. We need it to operate in our daily task. It's a useful tool. When I think of flashlights, I think of my grandpa. He always had flashlights in his house, and he always hated when I turned the lights on at night. Again, I was afraid of the dark. So I would walk to the bathroom with a flashlight, and I'd poke it everywhere because I wanted to make sure I knew where I was going. He had a hat with a flashlight on it. I thought that was cool. I had a free range of motion just in case anything came out of the shadows. I was ready. Light is important. I remember spending the night there, and I'd just be afraid of the dark, but I had the flashlight. I recall lots of times having a flashlight, walk around his house or my house growing up. If I had a flashlight as a child in my house, I that was awesome. I was like, man, I can go up and walk safely to the bathroom or walk safely to the kitchen at night, and I'd be fine. I didn't like the feeling of the unknown or what I wasn't able to see. So, and that's great. I mean, it's not an uncommon fear, because when it's, like, the darkness, is, like, or nighttime, or if we talk about dark, it's unknown. You don't know what's in there, right? In the light, it's a pile of laundry, right? In the dark, it could be your arch enemy. You don't know. You don't know. And that's universal. Like, if you look at, like, there's like, sayings. Like, we hear sayings like, I shot in the dark, which means a guess with little or no assurance or accuracy. Or another common saying is, to shed some light on a situation means to provide clarity or explanation for the sake of a better understanding. Or to be in the dark about something is to not be aware of knowing our subject or matter. To be in the dark is to not know, right? Dark, there's the unknown in the darkness. It's not great to be in the dark. It's not a fun time. I'd rather walk outside during the day than I would rather walk at night. I'd rather go to work during the day than go to work at night. I'd rather drive during the day than drive at night. Some people hate driving at night. My mom hates driving at night. Using so that she asked me to give my nephew rides a lot. She's like, can you give Xavier a ride? The sun went down. You know how that is. But people, they prefer to do things in the light. It's clearer. You can see better. You're more aware. You have all your options. There are more options in the daytime. There are more options in the light. There's truth in the light. There's not truth in the darkness. You're not for sure in the darkness. So let's talk about that. One of God's first creative acts was to shine light into the void. Notably, God created light on the first day of creation before he created the sun on the fourth day. The light of God was created before anything else. The light of God is not dependent on any earthly source, but it comes from God himself. In the book of Psalms, they use light to describe the character and work of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. God isn't just showing us where we are, but where we're going. I love that. A lamp unto my feet. Because so you can see where you're going. So it's not just clarity. It's not just I can see where I'm going, but you have a clear direction as well. A light unto my path. Clarity and direction. It's not just showing you where to go. It's not just showing you what it is, but where to go. It's showing you how to get there. It's a guidance. The light is a guidance. In comparison, darkness is described in Scripture as represent a state of being lost. Again, that unknown. That uncertainty, you don't know. Peter described the experience of being saved out of the world as being out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Because when you are without God, you're just in sin. You're in confusion. You don't have a sense of direction. When you come out of that, it is marvelous. If you've ever been confused and then found the right answer, it's a great feeling. You have a great feeling. Like my wife when she does math, like she doesn't know the answer, and then she figures it out. It's a great feeling. Or when you have a problem, you can't remember something, and then you remember, you have that clarity, it comes over you. It's a great feeling when you know something, when you have something that's solidified. So when we come out of this darkness, when we come out of that, we go into Jesus' light, the confusion's gone. That lack of direction's gone. It is marvelous. It's eye-opening. It's refreshing. Have you ever been lost just to be found? It's one of the best feelings. We've all been there as a child. I remember the first time I got lost in the grocery store. I took one wrong turn at the Jackson Street Elkhart Martins. Yeah, Jackson Elkhart, the Martins over there. I took one wrong turn. And I was suddenly by these birthday cards. And then my mom wasn't there. And then I was, where's my mom? And then I went this way, 4 hours this way, 4 hours that way, 4 hours this way, 4 hours that way. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to go to the cash registers. They're going to have to say my name. And then I finally get to my mom. And I'm like, there's my mom. I'm found. I'm safe. It's okay. And she's like, where'd you go? You know, but I was fine. She was mad that I left her. But she's probably happy that I was found too. But we all know that feeling of being lost and being found. It's a great feeling. It's refreshing to be found, to know where you're going, to know who you're around, to know who you are, to know where you are. It's refreshing to be found. It's refreshing to be in his light. It's refreshing. Jesus is light. The most compelling scriptural usage of light revolves around the incarnation of God as the man Jesus Christ. John described the light of Jesus shining into the darkness, and the darkness being unable to comprehend it. Comprehend, grasp, or understand. The message is clear. The light of Christ is indefinitely greater than the darkness. See, Jesus noted that participation in light, he often requires following after him. So an action is required. So if the darkness can't comprehend the light, if it can't handle the light, if it can't grasp the light, and if we fall into his light, and if we're in his light, we follow after his light, we're in that sense of direction, we're in that comfort, we're in that refreshing, we're in that marvelous light, then the darkness can't handle us. It can't handle us in his light, coated in his light, surrounded in his light. We can't be lost if we have a light upon our feet, if we have a path, if we have a sense of direction. If we know where we're going, if we know what we're supposed to do, it's hard to be lost when you have a map. It's hard to be lost when you know where you're going. It's hard to be lost when you have people around you that surround you. It's hard to be lost when you're in light. You ever got lost in your neighborhood during the daytime? Maybe you haven't done it in your nighttime either, I don't know. But it's hard to get lost during the daytime. You could find things that, you could find markers that'll set you back to where you're supposed to be, or things that you recognize. It's hard to be lost in the light because the darkness can't grasp it, can't wrap around. The phrasing of Jesus' statement is important when Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." A deeper meaning was added. In the Old Testament, Jehovah revealed himself to Moses as the I am that I am. By speaking this and saying, "I am," Jesus was associating himself as the God of the Old Testament, manifest in the flesh. The crowd who Jesus was speaking to understood this, and they immediately began to debate and criticize Jesus. He is. He is the light. He is God. Jesus was truly God. Even though the crowd could not accept it, many today still reject Jesus as the I am. Just as many people still reject Jesus as the light of the world. But those who have walked in the light of Christ can testify and witness to it. We all know the physical and spiritual feeling of being lost in. Not knowing where we're going to being able to continue on a correct path. I like to think, like when it's nighttime. Again, I'm going to use a bunch of light and dark references. It's nighttime. We're in the dark again. Put your imagination caps on. You're walking in the woods. It's starting to get dark. Your eyes are adjusting to the dark. Are you able to see better at night? Do you automatically have these night vision goggles? No, it becomes harder to see, right? Yes. Right? I'm not talking to a bunch of cats here. We can all, it's hard to see at night? Yeah, okay. What do our eyes look for? You're walking in the street at night. What is your eye? You're looking for street lamps, right? You're camping with your family. You walk away to go somewhere in the woods, right? Come back, what are you looking for? Light, I'm looking for light. Campfire is also acceptable. Bug zapper, whatever. If you go glamping, if you have an RV that's turned on, that's fine. Whatever you do, I don't know. I camped in my backyard. I looked for the kitchen light. Okay. I never went too far. I didn't like being lost. Didn't like the dark, guys. I had a really sheltered childhood. Okay. Didn't leave the fence line area. My mom had a shock collar on me. You know, it was a whole thing. You know, I think you understand. But our eyes, when we're in the darkness, they're looking for any source of light that help navigate us to whatever pitch black that you're in. All of those things, your eyes are looking for that. They're looking for some type of direction, looking for some type of guidance. Roberta has some family in this small town called Mongo. And it's like this, it's like outside of LaGrange. If you think like banjo music, small town, they're great. I love them. They're great people. They always go hunting. They always tell me about this hunting story. They told me about this guy who, like, I don't know anything about hunting. I don't know anything about guns. But he bought a really nice gun to go hunting, right? And he was out in the woods for far too long. And this is a real story. It's not like an anecdote I looked up. It's a real story of a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy. He got this new gun, and he's hunting, and he's like, oh, I'm lost, and it's getting dark. And if you know anything about being in the woods, I'm not talking about the woods next to a park. I'm not talking about the woods behind your house. I'm talking about the woods, you know, the woods. If you know anything about that, and it gets dark, and you don't have a sense of direction, you want to get out of there. Because it's, and I don't know that. And I'm just saying, this is all for reference. I camped in my backyard, okay? It got dark, I walked to the front door, all right? But apparently, it gets dark, and you can get lost. So he just drops this brand new gun he bought, and he darts towards the light. Darts towards one direction, eventually found himself on a trail, got himself home. Next day, his gun was gone. Sad story, right? Sad story. Lost on that gun, but hey, he's not lost in the woods, right? Right. So he was looking for it, because it's awful to be lost, and especially in that situation where it could be dangerous, where animals and not knowing you are and continue to be lost, because you could get severely lost in the woods. So let's talk about it. So we all know the feeling. If you've been raised in church and born in church and God just kept you, that's amazing. But we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We've all fallen. We all know what it's like to be covered in that shame, right? We all know what it kind of feels like we're stepping out of the light. Right? We make a mistake. We do something wrong. And now we just kind of stepped into the darkness a little bit. We know that feeling. We know that feeling of doubt and despair, that cold, that confusion. Again, that confusion, that the unknown. We all know what it feels like to be in that darkness. And then we also know what it feels like. Remember that we can go walk back into that light. That light is still there. That we can still find our way back. We all know that feeling. We know that feeling that we all have that experience where we came to God. And God showed us how to get back. And God showed us where to go. And God showed us how to act. And God showed us how to step away from the darkness. God showed us how to take off that shame. Lay it at his feet. We all know that feeling. And if you don't, you can know that today. Because Jesus loves you. He loves to bring you to his marvelous light. So Jesus was truly God. And even though the crowd could not accept it, he still was. Jesus' placement of the statement of being the light of the world says a lot. John included this statement directly after Jesus saved a woman caught in adultery from being stoned to death. The situation seemed simple to the scribes and Pharisees who brought the woman to Jesus. The law of Moses stated that someone caught in this act should be put to death. However, Christ's response put a new light on the situation. Jesus gave both the woman and her accusers a new perspective. While her accusers had nefarious motivations, they demonstrated exactly what everyone's response should be when trying to respond to a complicated problem. See, the best first step is take the circumstance to Jesus. When we have an issue in our lives, we try to fix it ourselves. We try to figure it out ourselves. We are man. We're fully human. We try to see, how can I take care of this? What's the best possible solution for me? What's the fastest way I can get this done? What's the best way I can get this done? And how can I get it done now? Right? We don't always take it to Jesus. But when it comes to a complicated situation, it's awesome and amazing to be humble and just to bring it to Jesus. It's a whole lot easier to do it, even though it feels a lot harder. But when we have a complicated situation like this, we should bring it to Jesus. And then Jesus shines his light upon the situation. His light provides us with a new, more godly perspective. He will change how we view ourselves and how we view others. This type of revelation is only possible when we bring our questions, we bring our situations, we bring our problems to the Lord. So while the angry crowd stood by and condemning, ready to punish the woman, Jesus took an action no one else did. He knelt on the ground by the woman and began to make marks in the dust in the ground with his finger. And he just did that while they asked him. And they were like badgering him. They were saying, what should we do? The law says we should stone her. What do you want us to do, teacher? We don't know what Jesus was writing, but his posture was telling. Everybody else stood with stones in their hand, but Jesus knelt to the ground. He met the woman where she was. He came to her level. And after he challenged her accusers, Jesus helped her off the ground. Jesus' words and actions changed the woman's perspective. Yes, she was a sinner. She knew of the sin more than any of her accusers knew. She probably wrestled with guilt and shame regularly. She knew what that felt like. She knew what it felt like to be in the darkness. And Jesus, as God in the flesh, knew both her sin and her shame. Nevertheless, Jesus refused to condemn her. Instead, he had compassion on her, showed her his light. See, if you know that feeling of coming into Jesus' light, you know what it feels like when, again, we're in the dark, we're walking around, we're looking for those glimpses of light. We know what that feeling is when Jesus is there, when we can come to him. He comes to our level. He meets us where we're at. And what we think is we're getting met with stones, we get met with love and compassion. How many times when people wrong us, we're ready with stones, and we're not so much ready with love and compassion. Since the Garden of Eden, sin has plunged us into darkness. However, since the cross, we don't have to live in darkness for the rest of our days. Thanks to the gospel of Jesus, our sins can be forgiven, and Jesus calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He calls us into his marvelous light. And then he asks us to follow after him, to follow after that. Right? He calls us that action. I want you to look to your neighbor, and I want you to say, bioluminescence. And if you had trouble with that, I had trouble with that this whole week. Bioluminescence is a production and emission of light by a living organism. Bio meaning life, and luminescence being the emission or release of light. Isn't that great? Isn't that great what Google can do? We see this commonly in the summer with our friends, the fireflies, right? Or lightning bugs. There we go. Derek's like, I got a jar full of them right now. What's up? I love them. I think they had some at the bonfire. They kept throwing them into the bonfire. I don't know what that was about, but we had a youth bonfire. But yeah, we have lightning bugs. I grew up with lightning bugs. I love that. Or fireflies, whatever, right? I don't know their Latin name either. But we know, right? So we look at bioluminescence. What's that? That is a living thing that gives off light, right? Maybe you study marine life, or you like Animal Planet, or you look up deep sea animals on YouTube, and you like those glowing jellyfish? Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't it be awesome if we could like see more of that? Maybe, I don't know if they have those at the aquarium. I haven't been to the aquarium in a long time. But you can catch those on YouTube. You can catch those on Animal Planet. But what if I were to tell you that bioluminescence is a little bit more common than that? Pretty cool, right? I'm not talking about like cat painted in glow-in-the-dark paint. It's pretty common. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You're glowing." No, say it like you mean it. You're glowing. And not just because you're back from Florida. You're glowing. You're glowing. Look at you. You're glowing. Human bodies emit light. Did you know that? Human bodies emit light. Isn't that wonderful? Why do we need flashlights? Am I supposed to break my arm and then, like a glow stick? Or a minion? I did just see Minions. Maybe that's where I got that from. We emit light. But it's 1,000 times less intense than the levels which our eyes are accustomed to. Very, very unfortunate. In simple terms, human bioluminescence is visible, but it's just too dim for our weak eyes to pick up on. But we emit light. Tell your neighbor, you emit light. And not just in the physical, but the spiritual. We emit light. Before the sun was created, God created light. Where does our light emanate from? Where do we get our light? Derek? Jesus. Thank you, Derek. Jesus. We are the light of the world. We are bioluminescence. If I could make a new term, Jesus, bioluminescence. We're Jesus, light of the world. The light of Jesus not only changed the way the woman saw herself, his light also changed the way her accusers saw themselves and viewed the adulterous woman. Jesus' response to the crowd did not address their accusations at all. They were right. She was an adulterer. Moses' law required her execution. Instead, Jesus addressed the crowd themselves. He is without sin among you. Let him cast a stone at her. All the accusers have dropped their stones. Probably they thought through their own list of sins and knew God had shown forgiveness and who they were to execute judgment on this woman. They knew that one of them could be on the receiving end of judgment or punishment. See, condemning the woman must have been quite easy before the accusers were forced to consider their own sin and their own desperate need of mercy and grace. Lack of compassion or grace in our hearts for others correlates to a lack of understanding or how much compassion or grace we have received. See, the visual picture of Jesus stooped next to the adulterous woman must have also fed into their conscience. See, it would have been hard to throw stones when Jesus was the one who was without sin, kneeling right in front of her. Again, I said, we're bioluminescence. We are beings, living beings, that emit light, that release light. So we're living in the light of Jesus, right? If we are in the light of his world, if we are following after him, if he's guiding us, and we are reflecting that light to others, we should also, in turn, show the same compassion and love to others. We should be that light to others. That should be us, the light of the world, bioluminescence, not just in the physical, but the spiritual. Living in Jesus' light will majorly change our perspective, because how could it not? Living in the light of Jesus must not only change how we view ourselves, but how we see the world around us. Jesus' light gives us a God's eye viewpoint from which we can better see the world. See, God calls us to live in his light and to let his light flow through us wherever we go. People need to see the light of Jesus. People need to see the light of Jesus. People need someone to kneel next to them in their misery and their darkness. People need someone to meet them where they're at when they're just covered in that shame. They're covered in their guilt. when they don't know where to go, when they're confused. People need somebody to kneel down next to them. Show them compassion. Because this world is really fickle. It'll like lead you into darkness, and then it'll just leave you there. There's not a whole lot of benefits of being in darkness. A lot of sad, a lot of disparity. Sin only leads you to death. And that's where this lady was. She was on the brink of death, ready to receive punishment. And Jesus steps in, kneels down in front of her. His light covering her and her darkness. And the accusers around her drop their stones. I'm not saying these accusers were evil and they were demons, but the darkness can't handle light. Darkness can't handle light. We know that for ourselves. When we're walking in the light of Jesus, we can't get re-lost in the darkness. We've got the light of Jesus in ourselves. But to those who are in the darkness, when we go and meet them where they're at, when we kind of reflect God's love on them, show them that compassion, how much of a chance does the darkness have? I'm not saying we're forgiven sins. I'm not saying we're there. Change people's lives. God moves through us. God uses our example. His love flows through us. God uses our testimony. God uses our witness. It is all God working through us. We are his light. Bioluminescence. We are living beings that reflect light. I don't think that's by accident. I do not think that's by accident. We are here to reflect his light. I had a great week. Talked about how I was baking. Talked about how 4th of July. We also had a Summer Olympics at my work. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, didn't make gold. Sorry. I know some of you guys might have had a bet going. Casey was going to bring home the gold. Did not. No. It's my bum knee. No, it was nothing too. I mean, one guy did eat it in the parking lot during the egg race. We had an egg race. It was awesome. We had a trivia relay race, and I knew a lot of the great Interra trivia, like, what is my boss's favorite Tom Hanks movie? Like, I knew that, and I didn't know our mission statement. but it's okay. I won cornhole, which was the first time I ever won cornhole in my life. And I know, it's crazy. I grew up in Indiana. I should have came out of the womb with a really good left, whatever that is, right? We've all done that. Some of us have pulled our back doing that. I've seen it. I won a game of cornhole. We played big Jenga, which is just Jenga, but you don't get to sit down. You have to bend over and come to the ground. I lost that. Then we had golf. But it was like, it's called chipping or tipping. And it was something they bought at Walmart. And it was great. I made one. And one guy made 24. Yeah. He was in a VP, so he goes on more golf excursions than I do. That was great, right? Whatever. Bunch of useless information. But what's great about that is my work provided lunch, right? And so I was excited. Free lunch. I don't have to pay for it. I don't care if I work from home. I'm coming in that day. Come in, support my department. One guy got silver. It was okay. It was good enough for me. And I'm going to get lunch. That's really all I'm thinking about during this lunch hour is to go get this submarine sandwich. And I go in there, and I see my friend. And I've talked about this friend. If you hear me teach, you hear me teach about people I pray for, people at work I pray for. And there's one that got promoted. And they're all very negative. It's all very affecting me at work. It's all very non-optimistic, very pessimistic, very bad, just bad spirits, right? One person got promoted, their life got better. One person got fired, their life got better. One person stayed, and their life has continued. I'm seeing the fruits of that. So this is a continuation of that. Again, I'm coming in thinking about submarine sandwich. And I say, hey, how are you doing? Making tea? That's awesome. Here for the sandwich. And she goes, hey, Casey, can I ask you for some advice? And again, I'm still just making this sandwich. It's all I'm really focused on. She's going through this life change. She just met her biological father. She doesn't know how to deal with meeting her biological father for the first time. And just really deep stuff for sandwich making time. Like really deep stuff. And I don't have any degrees in counseling or anything like that. So I give her the best advice I can. I say, hey, I know he's coming out a little strong. He wants to do all these things, wants to hang out, wants to make up for 27 years of not knowing you. And he wants to patch up the relationship, and he wants you to, you know, be on daughter-father level, right? He wants you to take his last name. He's coming on hard because he just found out he had this baby. Show him a little grace. And her parents, they were saying, yeah, it's fine, you can go meet this guy. That's fine, but they were letting on that they weren't super comfortable with it. They were letting on they were more comfortable than they really were. And I said, do you know how you're 27 and you make mistakes and you don't know how to figure it out yet? She said, yeah. I was like, your parents are, even though they're like 40, 50, they're still kind of 27. They don't have it figured out yet. So show them a little grace because they're just trying to figure this out too. And so I just say a little bit of that to her, right? And she says, and then she just dips out. That's it. I go back to make my sandwich. I don't think about it the rest of the day. Great sandwich. The next day, first thing in the morning, hey, just a big paragraph. Casey, thank you so much for your advice. It really helped clear some things up. My new relationship with my biological father really cleared up things with my parents. I'm seeing these a lot more clearly. Thank you for that advice about grace. Yada, 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 yada. I'm not Dr. Phil, okay? But we reflect the light of Jesus. Whatever you go into, she was dealing with something, right? She didn't go to her bosses. She didn't go to her friends. She went to somebody who reflected the light of Jesus. And that's something I've been praying for. That's something I've been praying. God, how can I reach this person? God, how can I be a witness? How can I help this person? God, how can I be there for them? God, how can I be a light? How can I help them? And I'm just thinking about making a sandwich, and boom, it happens. You're reflecting Jesus' light. You are out there. Show compassion. Show love. Kneel down to somebody. Kneel down with them. Be with them. Change your perspective. God, how can I see with your eyes? God, how can I love with your love? God, how can I speak with your words? God, I hope your words would fall off my lips. How can I reflect you wherever I go? We can be that example. We can be that help. And people seek out the light. People will seek you out. People will come to you. Because people, again, they're walking around in the dark, and all they see are glimpses of the light. They're just trying to find some direction. Right? That makes sense? I hope so. Let's pray. You would stand. God, we love you and we thank you for this time, God. I pray, God, that you would continue to guide us as we leave, as we continue on this service today. God, I pray, God, your spirit would move in this service. Lord, I pray, God, you'd move in the worship service. God, I pray, God, you speak with Brother Cummins today. God, you anoint him as he brings the word today, God. And Lord, I pray, God, you continue out in the rest of our lives, the rest of this week, God. God, that we would be the light, The light of Jesus, God, would change how we view ourselves, to change how we view our perspective, God, change how we view our situation, God. And God, that would change the way that we see those around us, God. God, that we would show compassion, we would show love. God, we'd be the one that would kneel down next to them like you have. God, I pray, Lord, that you would send people to us, God, and that we reflect light off of you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we do have a few minutes for next service here. So if you want to take some